Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening. Well, good morning. It's good to have everybody in the house, and if you're joining us online, a very special welcome to you, especially if you're joining us live, watching on demand, listening to the podcast, and of course everybody in the room, it is good to have you with us. There's an urban legend that I just absolutely love, an urban legend about a Navy ship called the USS Montana, and this is a conversation that was recorded just off the coast of Canada. The transcript of the USS Montana goes like this. And it starts with the USS Montana. It says, "Please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Over." The response comes back that says, "We recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. Over." The USS Montana gets on, and it's the captain this time, and says, "This is Captain Hancock of the USS Navy. I say it again, divert your course. Over." Straight away, the response comes back, "No, Captain, I'm not moving anything. You change your course. Over." Very angry now, the USS Montana's captain in a loud voice goes, "This is an aircraft carrier, USS Montana, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by 3 destroyers, 3 cruisers, and a number of support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north, that's 15 degrees north, or we'll be forced to take countermeasures to ensure the safety of this ship. Over." The response came back, "This is a lighthouse, mate. Your call." We're in week 2 of our series called Reality Check. And whether you like it or not, whether you agree with me or not, we all need a reality check from time to time. Turn to someone and say, "You need a reality check." Can I say it with a bit of attitude, like you know that they need it? You need a reality check. Now, I want to say this like I said last week as well, and I said it and I'm going to say it again. When I say we need a reality check, I'm trying very hard not to diminish what people are going through. Hear me correctly today. I don't want to be up here saying, "Well, you're going through something, get over it," right? And have a that's not what I'm saying. I don't want to diminish what people are going through. But sometimes we get caught in our own heads, or we get caught in some thinking, and we end up being like the captain of the USS Montana, not seeing all the facts to the thing, right? And so that's what I want to do today, is I want to get us to see things from a different perspective. That reality check that we need from time to time. As Christians, and I can speak for myself, I need a reality check every so often. Zoe's very kind enough and blessed enough to tell me when I need it. Aren't you, honey? Yeah, big grin on her face, you know. Lord, we invite you to speak today in a mighty way. Amen. I want to start this sermon like this. We are born, life is unfair, and we die. Thanks for coming. God bless you. Now, that's got to be the most depressive start to a sermon ever, right? Life is unfair, and you die. And the bad news is, it's true. Life is unfair. It's true. Life is unfair, but the good news today is that it is actually a half-truth. It's not the full truth. That we've grown up, and this is why it's a half-truth, we've grown up in a world where we listen and we've heard fairy tales. And we've heard all sorts of fairy tales, haven't we? But they basically begin, you know, once upon a time in a land far away, you kind of meet your Prince Charming or your Princess Fiona, right? If you're lucky enough, you settle down, you have a few kids, and we all live happily ever after. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the reality we live in. It's not the reality we live in. And as Christians, we kind of think when we give our hearts to Jesus, and because we've got God on our side now, that we're going to live happily ever after, right? And this is a common belief, but the Bible isn't filled with fairy tales. The Bible doesn't actually promise anywhere that we will live happily ever after. Life is unfair. That's true. And we die. But as Christians, we believe in so much more than happily ever after. Don't we? Just nod at me if you're still with me and I haven't turned you off yet. All right. We believe in the one who spoke the world into existence. We believe in the author, pioneer and perfecter of life itself. We believe in God who created the reality we live in. We don't believe in a happily ever after. We believe in a happy forever after. One amen. Okay. Good Lord, why do I put so much energy and effort into putting these sermons together? I don't know. We don't believe in happily ever after. We believe in happy forever after. And that's our reality check for us today, is that we believe in forever after. And our scripture today takes place, and as we read it, it is just wrong and unfair and unjust on many levels. On many levels. So if you've got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 14. This is my absolute favourite chapter of the entire Bible. It has three different stories in it. I could preach the second two because they're great and they're fun and they're exciting, but this first one is hard. So we're going to go there, the first one. I've never preached the first one before, but we're going to do it today. Matthew 14, and we're going to start at verse 3. And as I said, this is wrong on multiple levels. Are you ready? Turn to someone and say, you ready? All right. Now, Herod. Just to clarify, this is not Herod, the same Herod that tried to kill all the babies when Jesus was born. Not the same Herod. That was Herod the Great. This is Herod Antipas. Different Herod. This is actually one of Herod's children, Herod the Great's children. In fact, he had 9 children to 5 wives, right? So you can imagine that household growing up would have been messed up. But when Herod the Great died, right, the 9 children split up, or actually 8 of them split up. One of them didn't own any territory or take any territory on. But 8 of them took control of different kingdoms. And Herod Antipas, which is this Herod, took the region known as Galilee. Right? So this is Herod Antipas. Now, Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Now John gets locked up in prison, right? He gets locked up in prison, all right? But this is how messed up it is. This is how messed up. Herod Antipas marries Herodias, right? Herodias is not a term for Herod's wife. It's actually a name, right? That's her name, Herodias, right? But Herodias is actually the wife of Herod Antipas' brother Philip, or was, right? So that makes a sister-in-law, but also Herodias is the daughter of one of other Herod's brothers, making it his niece. So this is how messed up this is. Herodias is actually the sister-in-law and the niece to Herod Antipas. Does that make sense? You thought your family was screwed up. Like, check this one out. Like, this is messed up, right? But here's the thing. John gets locked up for saying to Herod Antipas, "This is not right." He spoke truth to power. He spoke truth to someone. And hear me right. When someone speaks truth to you, sometimes truth hurts, doesn't it? When people say it to you, sometimes it hurts. Well, we've got to do a couple of things. If someone speaks truth to you, firstly, you need to run it through the lens of the Bible. Whether that's from the platform speaking, whether that's a mate speaking in or a friend speaking in or a family member, you've got to figure out and discern if it's true. Run that through the lens of the Bible, right? If it's true, then we go to God and we say, "God, forgive me for that stuff," right? That's what we do. If someone speaks truth into our life, we've got to do the research. We've got to do the study. We've got to find out. If it's not true, then you can tell them it's not true and walk off, right? And you know who you are. But if it's true, through the lens of the Bible, then you've got to repent for that. Does that make sense? Right? And so John goes to Herod and says, "Hey, Herod, what you're doing is not right." Herod, on the other hand, doesn't do that. He decides to take John and lock him in prison. So in other words, we've got John, right, who does the right thing, who speaks out about an injustice, who speaks truth, and he gets locked up in prison. That's not fair, is it? There's no judge or jury. This is just not fair. He gets locked up in prison. In fact, according to Matthew 11, I didn't put this in the notes, but according to Matthew 11, and I think it's verse 11, it says that John, this is Jesus speaking, among those born of women who have not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. In other words, Jesus thinks John the Baptist is the bee's knees. He's great. Like, he's like, if the next to Jesus, it then comes John the Baptist. That's according to Jesus. I would love that title if Jesus said that about me, you know. There's me and then there's you. Like, that would be nice, like just behind. Like, I don't think John the Baptist has this title, right? And yet he speaks truth to power and speaks truth and says the right things and gets locked up in prison. Bad things happen to good people. And bad things happen to Christians. Life is unfair and we die. Verse 5. It does get better, trust me. Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him, John, as a prophet. But this is where it really starts getting messed up, people. You thought it was messed up beforehand. This is where it really gets messed up, right? Verse 6. On Herod's birthday. Now, this was the event of events. If you were invited to Herod's palace for his birthday, you were in the in crowd, right? This is like trying to get tickets to the greatest concert on earth. Like, to get into this place, you had to be on the list. You had to be someone. You had to be of noteworthy. And once you got in there, you would do everything possible to impress Herod, right? That was what you did. There was drinking, there was partying, there was entertainment, there was all sorts of things happening, right, in Herod's palace. This was the party of parties, right? And this is what was happening. If you were on the list, you were in there. And as part of the entertainment, we find out the daughter of Herodias danced for the guests and pleased Herod so much, verse 7, that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked for. If you read Mark's version of this story, you'll know that Herod actually offers her up to half his kingdom. Half his kingdom. But this is what she does. This is what Herodias' daughter does. Goes to her mother, and prompted by her mother in verse 8, she says, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." Now, look. Herod offers half the kingdom, and she wants a guy's head on a platter. I'm just going to say this. If someone offers you half a kingdom, take the kingdom. Like, be smart about it. Take the kingdom, right? Take the riches. Take all of that comes with it. Don't ask for a guy's head on a platter. That just doesn't make sense in my head. And like, kind of, I started thinking about it. Like, there's no fridges in this day and age, so... Like, the head would have to be just put on a mantelpiece if you were going to keep it. But because of the heat in Galilee, it would have rotted. So it would have started to smell. So what would you have done with the head eventually? Thrown it away because it stunk too much? She swapped out half the kingdom for a rotting head, severed head. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Verse 9, the king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted. Verse 10, and John beheaded in prison. Verse 11, his head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl who carried it out to her mother. Life is unfair, and then you die. John the Baptist dies. Of all the men that Jesus said there was none greater, he dies. All this to someone who spoke truth. All this to someone who didn't do anything wrong. All this, it doesn't make sense. Life is unfair. Life is unjust. And we die. And the reality of the situation is he didn't do anything wrong. And yet he's locked up and has his head cut off for doing nothing wrong. And we kind of read over these verses and we think, how do we make sense of this? And part of me goes, oh, well, that was back in the olden times and that's what they did back then. No, no. In life, we try to make sense of reality sometimes. But reality sometimes doesn't make sense, does it? And it doesn't make sense here. Bad things happen to good people. Life is unfair at times. And we may not have our heads cut off, but we certainly go into situations that are unfair, right? That are unjust. We certainly get into situations where things happen and we just sit there and go, this is not fair, this is not right. And we're paying the consequences for something that is not our fault. And this is where we need the reality check. That it's not happily ever after, it's happily forever after. Yeah? Let me give you three ways we can actually have this reality check. Number one, if you're taking notes, you need to zoom out. If we want a reality check in a situation that is unfair and unjust, we need to zoom out. The situation could be unfair and unjust, absolutely. But we need to remember we're only here on earth for a short, short time. And then we get to live with God forever and ever. It's not happily ever after, it's happily forever after. And what we go through here, if we confess Jesus is Lord, right? If we confess that and believe that in our hearts, then we are going to be in paradise with Him. God loves us so much that He paid the price for our sins, so we get to go and be in paradise with Him forever if we confess with our mouths. Go to a place where there's no tears and no sorrow and no pain and no heartache and no wrongdoing and no sin and nothing will be wrong there. And Jesus and God will do the repair work and the restoration work and will work it all out. If it's unfair now, He will sort it out. We need to zoom out and remember that we're on earth for this long compared to eternity. Like I kind of wrote it like this, the reality is that after 10,000 years or so of worshipping God, we'll probably not remember the person who treated us unfairly here on earth. Think about it. Zoom out. We need to zoom out from where we're at. Because sometimes all we see is an island or something in the way that we're going to have a collision with. Instead of seeing the bigger picture. Yeah? Zoom out. Zoom out. The second thing we do if we want a reality check in times that we've been treated unfairly and unjustly is to forgive reality. Forgive reality. At times life is unfair, but we need to learn to forgive reality. Otherwise we'll ask for someone's head on a platter instead of taking on half the kingdom. We will get something that is stinking and rotting and smelly instead of the blessings that actually God has for us. She exchanged riches and blessings and all of the stuff that comes with half a kingdom for a piece of meat that's rotting. It's when we hold on to grudges, when we don't forgive reality itself, when we don't get to that place of forgiveness, then we're going to get blinded by that and we will not see what God has for us here. Does that make sense? I get that it's hard to forgive someone who hurts you. And one of my favourite stories on forgiveness is Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know if you know Corrie Ten Boom. She was a woman who got captured during the Second World War when the Nazis were sort of captured. And she was harbouring Jews and stuff. And so the Nazis got her, put her in a concentration camp. And she survived the camp and got out the other side, but she was treated quite badly in there. And years later, she's speaking at an engagement and she's talking about how God so loved the world and how God forgave and how we should forgive others. In the crowd that day, as the story goes in her book, this Nazi concentration camp officer walks to the front and sees her and goes, "Do you really believe that?" This woman had been mistreated unfairly for doing the right thing, unjustly for doing the right thing. And she said inside herself she didn't want to forgive him. She didn't want to do it. She didn't want to have anything to do with this guy because it brought up too much pain and suffering and heartache. And she says in her own strength she couldn't do it. And I'm telling you today that sometimes people will treat you unfairly and unjustly and you can't do it in your own strength. But then she adds, with God, though, all things are possible. With God, I can forgive. And so she sat there and began to cry because God was breaking her heart for his heart. Someone hurts us, treats us badly, unfairly, unjustly. We've got to go to the cross of Jesus Christ and just say, God, help me. Lord, help me forgive this person. Help me to deal with this unjustly act that's been given, this unfair thing that has happened. Lord, I need you to help me not hold a grudge. Lord, I don't like this. This brings up too much bad stuff. But God, just repair, restore, do something in my heart where I can actually forgive. Because the truth is, if we don't forgive reality, then we're going to ask for someone's severed head instead of the blessings that God has for us. We've got to learn to forgive reality. The last thing quickly to help us have a reality check and to realize that it's a forever after, not an ever after, a forever after. So we need to allow God space to move. See, after John the Baptist's head was presented on a platter to Herodias' daughter, and Herodias, then the daughter presents it to Herodias, her mum, in verse 11. Verse 12 says this, John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. They went and told Jesus. And you could read the rest of the Bible. And nowhere do you see that John's disciples or John's followers at that point start to plot against Herod. You don't see that they want to try and take him over. You don't see the revenge want to take place. You don't want to see anything else. There's no evil for evil being paid back here. They go to Jesus. They go to Jesus. They saw the situation as unfair. They knew it was unjust. So they went and to Jesus and told him all that happened and waited for Jesus to speak into their lives. Do we make room when we're being treated unfairly and unjustly for Jesus to speak into? It's unfair sometimes, I get it. But do we allow Jesus in? Do we go to God and allow God to speak into our lives? Do we allow God to work in our lives? Do we allow God to show us something in the whole situation? Because remember, we need to zoom out and figure out what is happening here. And too often than not, we try and get revenge. Someone says something to us, so the first thing we do is jump on social media and say something back. Or we write a letter, or we do something, or we just start to harbour this something in our hearts, and instead of going to the author of life itself. The one who we believe is in control. Yeah. So instead of going to him when this happens, what do we do? Do we go to him even if he doesn't give us the answer and still trust him with the unanswered question of why is this happening? Tough stuff, isn't it? I'm sorry today's sermon's a bit deep, but this is where it's at. We need a reality check sometimes. Because a lot of us hold grudges, and a lot of us think things are unfair, and a lot of us think things are unjust. We have done nothing wrong. And the reality check is that we need to remember that it's not a happily ever after, it's a happily forever after. I might get the keys to come up. But a number of years ago, I was falsely accused of something. And I can tell you it hurt. Hurt like hell. The person that accused me didn't let up and for 2 years kept going. It was unfair, it was hurtful, it was unjustified. It actually got me close to the point of walking away from ministry forever. It was a tough time for me. And I asked God to help me in the situation, and he didn't help me straight away. In fact, things got worse. Every time I prayed in the early days, God, sort this situation out. God, do something in this space. It just got worse and worse and worse. I asked God, why is this happening to me? He didn't tell me why. All I knew, it was unfair and unjust and wrong. I asked God to give me strength to get me through it all, and He gave me enough for that day. But the next day I had to come back to Him and ask for more strength. And after two and a half years, where I felt like it was unfair and it was like hell on earth, I learned to have a reality check. And I couldn't preach this sermon if I hadn't gone through that experience. I learned to zoom out and to focus on the fact that one day I'm going to be in heaven with God. And that God is in control, that whatever was happening, God knew about it. God was dealing with it. God had a plan and a purpose for it all. He had a mission for me. He knew what was going on. I was always in the palm of His hand, regardless of what I felt, what I feel. He still had me. I needed to zoom out to see all that. I learned to forgive reality, to forgive the guy who did this to me, who accused me, who challenged me. Like, I had to come to that place. And we get it, because God forgave us. But then us to forgive others, that's hard sometimes. And I couldn't do it in my strength. I needed God's strength to do that. And then to allow God to work in my life, give Him space. At the start, He didn't answer the questions I was asking, but they were the wrong questions I was asking. He was teaching me something different. As I said, I couldn't preach this sermon today if I hadn't gone through that experience. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't easy. But with God, all things are possible. Life is unfair, absolutely. But the reality check is this, that it's not a happily ever after here on earth. It's a happily forever after with Him in paradise, in heaven. Don't put a full stop where God puts a comma. Come on, that's good. I'm going to say it again. Don't put a full stop where God puts a comma. Because it's not over. Even if we die here on earth, it is not over. In fact, it's only this much of this much. Does that make sense? We need to zoom out. We need to forgive reality. We need to give God room to move. And I know that it's not easy at times. But the reality check for us today, if we don't want to hold grudges, we don't have to learn to forgive, we need to know that it's not a happily ever after, it's a happily forever after. And look forward to being in paradise with Him. Constantly keeping our eyes on that. Paul writes it like this, run the race so that you can win the crown. Forever after. So we're going to sing a song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. I've been set free. You know, today, in order to be set free by some stuff, in order to be set free, we need to zoom out. To be set free, we need to forgive reality. To be set free, we need to allow God to move in. So if God is moving in your life right now and speaking to you, you can stand as we sing. If you want prayer, I'll pray for you down the front here, or pray for afterward church. I'll pray for whoever that needs it. But let's just get to a place of having this reality check today as we sing Amazing Grace.